This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So before the 9th of May, Malaysians were regaled with a whole slew of campaign promises. You might remember this one made by Tun Mahathir, who at the time of this announcement was the leader of the opposition bloc.
Apabila kita tubuh kerajaan, kita akan mansuh ataupun batalkan banyak undang-undang yang merupa opresif kepada rakyat, including Akta Hasutan 1948, Akta Pencegahan Jenayah 1959, Akta University dan College University 1971, Akta Mesin Cetak dan Penerbitan 1984, Akta Majlis Keselamatan Negara 2016, hukuman gantung mandatory dalam semua akta.
Now, that was Tun Mahathir speaking on the 4th of April 2018, just a month shy of his party's victory at the polls, essentially saying that when Pakatan Harapan takes over the government, they will cancel or abolish laws that are oppressive to the people. So this includes the Sedition Act 1948, Prevention of Crime Act 1959, University and University Colleges Act 1971, this is my favorite, Printing Presses and Publications Act 1984, as well as the act in question today, the National Security Council Act 2016. And I think it was in about... around August of 2016 when it was launched.
Yep, that's right. So the Defence Minister, Mohamad Sabu, has indicated that the government may only review or reshuffle the National Security Council Act 2016 in spite of, you know, that election pledge that we all just heard. I mean, it was once described by the bloc as a draconian law, and now it's being reported the minister now deems it to be a good vehicle, which had been made political by the previous regime. That's according to a report by the Malay Mail. So it's being seen as quite a bit of backpedaling.
Yeah, because, you know, I very clearly remember this particular bit of legislation when it was introduced. Critics accused Prime Minister at the time, Najib Razak, and his government of enacting the law, and you know, basically to ward off political and legal challenges. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's you know, being able to introduce martial law on a particular you know, area without any warrants, property seizures, and perhaps bans on demonstrations as well.
I mean, it's very worried. Many critics, including members of the then opposition and Council of Rulers, had panned the law. They expressed concern that its seemingly wide-reaching powers would be abused for other purposes besides security.
Well, you know, this was something that the Member of Parliament of Petaling Jaya, Maria Chin Abdullah, just spoke out about. So we're crossing over now to Maria to get her thoughts. Maria, thank you very much for being with us on the evening edition. Talk to us about this. What's your stand on the National Security Council Act?
Well, I feel that we really do not need the National Security Council Act. It is very draconian and has no accountability in the sense that it gives full power to the Prime Minister. That was the intention of Najib at that time. He and the deputy having full power to decide on what is emergency. The other thing about the Act is that there's no accountability. Nobody can be held accountable, which includes the committee, personnel and security forces. They have legal immunity from any criminal and civil proceedings, which is dangerous because they can shoot somebody and not be held accountable for that. And we don't really need to have such a law, especially when we are talking about this new Malaysia that we are building towards.
Right. So, you know, a number of concerns have been raised in regard to the Act that was bulldozed through Parliament in 2015. You've highlighted some of them. That includes having too much power in the hands of the Prime Minister, ambiguous definitions of what can and cannot fall under the scope of the NSC, and the room for security forces to be able to act without fear of punishment. So if Mat Sabu does decide to go ahead with a review, do you think that the Act can be amended in such a way that it doesn't allow for any abuse at all?
Well, so I certainly don't think there's a need to review, to be honest. There are enough laws to take care of all the issues about security. Existing laws already cover that. So I don't think we need this National Security Council Act.
Well, YB, I guess the rationale for maintaining the NSC is that it purportedly has its benefits to the country. How apparent are those benefits in your opinion?
I certainly don't see any benefits, because if you're talking about security, in terms of terrorism and all that, we have a section in the penal code. If you're talking about arms, dangerous objects and all that, we have laws to take care of it. So what is this additional thing that NSC brings to the table, other than human rights violations?
Right. Well, the expectation now is that the Pakatan government must practice transparency and accountability, especially if they plan on maintaining acts like these. What do you think? Can we trust the government to use this act in good faith?
Well, I hope that they will not use this act and get rid of it. And I sincerely hope that, you know, they have a consultation first before they even think about amending it. Bar Council has come out very strongly before to ask for the abolishment of this NSC. So has the civil society. In the manifesto itself, they have actually said that, you know, they don't need this act. So why the backtrack? That I don't understand.
Mm. Well, Maria, thank you very much for sharing that with us and for joining us on the program. That was Petaling Jaya Member of Parliament Maria Chin Abdullah with her thoughts on the backtrack of the promise from the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto to abolish the National Security Council Act.
Right. Now we've also got on the line the director of Swaram K. Arumugam on hold. Arumugam, thank you very much for holding the line. Now, I think the expectations are high for the new government to shun all draconian laws that were enacted by the previous government. They were going on and on about it for a long time. But do you think there are advantages to perhaps rethinking or reviewing this particular act?
Okay, there is a possibility of carrying out a thorough review of the act in order for it to become maybe better than the provisions in the Constitution. But I'm of the view that though a review is possible to make it more suitable for Malaysia, but to start with, I think they should actually repeal the act first and then probably go for a consultation with the people and the civil society organizations to enact another bill which may be much more suitable than the current bill, in which it was hastily prepared and it tend to conflict with quite a number of provisions of the Constitution, as well as fundamental liberties, Universal Declaration, and so many of those things. And I don't suggest that they should review the bill. Rather, they should repeal the bill as they promised in the manifesto. And thereafter, if there is a need to enact another bill or another act which may be able to be much more better than the constitutional provisions for emergency, then it would be much more desired with a reasonable level of consultation with various stakeholders who are interested to see that our human rights standards are high and respectable.
Well, you know, the main objective of the act was ostensibly to ensure national security and to respond especially to terror threats. Can that be adequately covered without the NSC Act?
We have the constitutional provisions to act in times of emergency, in times of national security. But I don't think those provisions as outlined in the Constitution adequately deals to protect liberty of the citizens. Therefore, there is a requirement for ventilating the provisions in the Constitution through Parliament Act. But such an act requires input from various stakeholders so that it can become meaningful. On one hand, how the state can act in times of national security. On the other hand, how can it tamper with the rights at the same time provides protection, security and safety for the people. The National Security Act Council Act in itself doesn't provide that ventilation in comparison with the constitutional provision to act on times of emergency. Therefore, if you ask me, I would suggest that the Parliament is in need to study these things in much more in detail before enacting a law that can fulfill the interests of both parties.
Arumugam, thank you very much for taking time to speak to us. That was K. Arumugam, the director of Swaram, giving his take on the relevance of the National Security Council Act.
Right. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share with us, you can always give us a call. 03-7710-9000 is the number. I mean, do you think we need the National Security Council Act?
No.
Will a rethink of this Pakatan Harapan manifesto promise affect your trust and support of the new government in any way?
Possibly.
Yeah, tell us how you feel. We know now how Ezra feels. 03-7710-9000.
We've got Anan on the line. Hi, Anan.
Anan.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing well.
Tell us what you think about it.
I'm totally with you. You know, I think it should be repealed. And
it's an easy decision, isn't it? I mean, politically, I mean, do you know what I mean?
I know. I mean, and once you repeal it, then you're sticking to what you promised.
Can I ask you, will it change your level of confidence, you know, when it comes to the new government if it's not repealed?
I think you're right. I mean, you know, the confidence factor would be, you know, reduced somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really draconian act, and it puts a lot of fear in a lot of people that an area could be turned into a security zone just like that, and six people can decide the fate of the whole country.
Anan, if you were to give the defense minister the benefit of the doubt, what do you think he would like to attempt to do if you were to take a review of the act?
I think if I were him, I mean, and if First and foremost, he should just stick to what the promise was made. But in case, like you said, he has to do something to review it or anything, he should review it on a very open, transparent basis.
Right.
So that, you know, more participants could get into the whole process of looking at it. So if he includes all the NGOs and other parties and see what they think, then maybe it's, you know, it might be acceptable to society.
All right, Anan, thank you very much for calling in.
All right, so Toh says, abolish the act. Only nincompoops will entertain amending it. Leonard says, the government must live up to their election promises and repeal the act to preserve their credibility. If the new act is needed to counter terrorism, it should have adequate check and balances so that it may not be abused by the powers that be. If you have draconian laws, sooner or later, another corrupt politician will arise to abuse it. Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you very much, Leonard. Of course, we've got another caller right now. It's Nash. Hi, Nash.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. What are your thoughts?
How are you guys doing? My thought is, I echo all the caller before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to stick to your election manifesto. I mean, I've been to their, all their charamas and all that.
Right.
And, they were very, very consistent about abolishing laws. And coming from Mat Sabu, who was imprisoned under ISA, he should know very well.
He knows what it's like to be on the receiving end of these types of legislation.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I mean, my opinion is, you know, repeal it. If you feel and do a post-mortem of what the law was intended to do, look at existing laws which can be, you know, can be improved further to tackle some of the... Because by keeping it, you're legitimizing the previous administration's goals and ideals of creating the law in the first place. That makes them look like a martyr, right?
Yeah,
in a way. And the second thing, if I may, I'd like to, if there are any ministers or any PH or MPs who are listening.
Of course they are.
Before you issue a statement, you know, make sure you have a public relations guy who's looking through your statement so that you don't look like a U-turn elected representative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have been talking about their media presence of late, haven't we?
Yeah, thank you very much for calling in, Anash. We appreciate your thoughts. We've got another caller on the line. He's a regular. It's Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hey, good
evening.
Good evening. Should we keep it? Should we let it go?
I do not know whether we need an SC or not.
Mm-hmm.
If Barhauser and Ezra say has got to go, it is good enough for me.
Yeah, it's good enough for Ezra. It's good enough for you. I say that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and besides, the janji ditepati, even though this is a slogan of the previous government, mm-hmm. but the value is universal. Mat, Abang Mat, betul ke tidak? Betul ke tidak? Janji mesti ditepati. And I think this the new government has yet to master the art of backpedaling. They're not starting it now.
Master the art of backpedaling. Is that what he said?
Well, it is. It's an entire course when you sign up to politician school. Victor, thank you very much for calling in. We've been talking about the National Security Act. And, of course, if you have any more thoughts, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some music right now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.